this month, but, and then of course, Bob's gone, Lisa's with him because she's his wife. And Amy Johnson's not here. She does the singing when they're gone, but she's not here, so here I am, Lord. We will sing that song later on here this morning, too, but I'm waiting for my other sidekick here. Okay, huh?
No,
she's done. The candles are lit. Here she comes, Dina. So we are going to sing, and we invite you to sing along with us as you see the words up on the monitor. And we will kind of see how this goes.
I'm
announcements for today. This Wednesday is Wednesday Night Fellowship. That means there will be some grilled pork. You're invited to bring a dish to go along with the meal at 6 o'clock this Wednesday. There'll be a couple of speakers. I think Carol Bent is one. Who's the other one? I don't know who the other one is, but...
It's Godly.
Oh, it's her.
Yeah,
Godly. Godly.
Yeah.
Godly? Oh,
there
she is.
Oh, there she is. Right there, okay. So now you know who the speakers are. We have a little meal first, and then we have the speakers come on, and we try to be out of here by, well, kind of end it. You don't have to leave right away, but right around 7 o'clock, just so you kind of know the time frame that's there. So you're invited to come to that. And I think Don Vermes is doing the grilling, and Kathy, they kind of are in charge of the pork, right? Okay. Sounds good. It's always good for them. What else is there? Okay, there's no Lunch with the Bunch this coming Thursday. I get to go to my 50-year class reunion, and that's going to be an interesting time. There's many I have not seen since we graduated, so it might be 50 years. So I'm sure I got to, in my mind, I'm going like, okay, they're not all going to look the same as when we graduate. And when they see me, they're going to go like, I didn't know you had so much gray hair. And I go like, yeah, I'm still 100 pounds more than when you last saw me. And they go like, yeah, you've gotten a lot bigger, Tim. Which is probably what I'll hear over and over again. But anyway, we're going to be there to spend time with my mom. My mom did sell her house. The closing was on Friday. So I told her, I said, it's time for a party. And we're going to have shrimp. So get ready, Mom. So she's agreeable to that. So now that you're on Zoom, Mom, you probably, now you're stuck. You are going to have to have shrimp for them. You see some of the other things that are in the bulletin. They're up to you to read and for you to look at. And just want to have a word of prayer together. Oh, Dave. Dave Reef. Where are you, Dave? He's got an announcement he wants to make.
I'll make it a brief as usual. My name is Reef. I'll make it brief. I just want to let you know there's a new manager at Fairway in Spirit Lake. Great guy. I went in on Tuesday to introduce myself to him and told him all about the blessing box. And he was so interested in that he wanted to get more involved. And yesterday he gave me a call and said, come on in, Dave. I got something for you. So I came in there and he said, well, there's employees as well as some folks from outside the Fairway who like to pay forward and give monies to help families that are in need. And they came up with $300, and he said, well, I'd like to even do better than that. I got approval to match it, and they gave us, Fairway gave us $300 on top of that. So I have $600 worth of gift cards right here to help any families that are in need. That's all.
When he hears that.
And the next time you're in there, his name is Corey Bolvo. He's a great guy. Give him a thanks and let him know we appreciate what he's doing to help families from around the area. That's all I have. Thank you.
Hey, thank you, Dave. Thank you, John. Thank you, Ken Hansen, for restocking the box, the blessing box that's up on the church as well. We appreciate that. Whoever thought this was going to take place, huh? Amazing stuff. When God is involved, you never know what's going to happen. As we'll find out in the sermon today. But before that, let's pray, and then we'll continue on. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for bringing us together. Thank you, Lord, for our friends that listen to us on Zoom, if it's live or if it's sometime later in the day or in the week. That's fine with us. We're just glad to be able to come into their home and for them to take the time to see and to listen to all that takes place here at Harbor of Joy in Milford, Iowa. And so, Lord, we thank you for the light rain that you have sent our way over the night. And it's always a good day when it rains here in this part of the country. And so we thank you for the blessing that it brings to to the area farmers, as well as just to the hearts and the spirits of people that are here too. And so we pray to the Lord for just Marilyn Jazz as she continues to be at home and still looking for some answers on some of her balance kind of things. And we pray for Corby as well, who is, she's not in the hospital here, but she's somewhere. And that you would just be with her wherever she's at. And there are probably some others I'm not aware of here today. I'll be with Donna Teelberg, just with the loss of Chuck here recently. And thank you for her, and just give her the strength that she needs. And just pray, Lord, that you may do something for her back. Intervene for the pain in her back during these days, as everyone knows that she's a Martha, Martha, and just can't sit still. But maybe she's going to have to sit still now with the pain in her back. But we are just so thankful for her. Thank you also, Lord, for Chuck and what they have meant to us over the years here at Harbor. And Lord, if there's any other burdens and things on people's minds here today, you already know what they are. And we can just lay them in your hands. We can trust you with them. Whatever the requests may be today, whatever the issues, circumstances that we find ourselves in this morning, you're a big God who can do much more than we could ever think or imagine. We just praise you, Lord, for what Fairway has done for a blessing box, and for those that will be blessed by it in ways they probably didn't expect it to be blessed by, in the gift that they have given to the church to help others in the community. And so we just lift up to you this morning our time of worship. And thank you, Lord, for our musicians. Be with Bob, Floss, and with Lisa as they spend some time away. And we just pray, Lord, that you would lead them to where there can be some kind of help given, and that will just revitalize their lives as well. So we thank you for everyone that is here today, those that we know and those that we don't know. We thank you for the visitors that are here, and may you just continue to just work in every heart that's here today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, the responsive reading. You have to respond back when I stop. You get to. You don't have to. You get to. Comes from Romans chapter 10, verses 8 through 13, but not all of those verses. But what does it say? The word is near you, it is in your mouth, and in your heart. That is the word of faith we are proclaiming.
That you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved.
For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved.
As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him,
for there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all, and which he blesses all who call on him.
For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.
Now we shall sing one more song before the message today. Here I am, Lord.
Oh,
Thanks, you can be seated. I'll go over here. Just to let you know, Pastor Jeff Griffith will be here next Sunday. And I hope that you will just tell him how much you appreciate him coming and being here. So I don't want anyone to think that you shouldn't come next week because I'm not here. But come, because we need to gather together to hear what God's Word has to say to us. And I invite you to stand as we hear out of reverence to God's Word. Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 to 33 is what we're looking at here this morning. Remember last week, what did we talk about? Just take a little poll, a little guess. What was the sermon on last Sunday?
Feeding of the 5,000.
Yeah, see, the closest ones to the pulpit know these things. So that means next Sunday, everybody should be sitting in front, and then the pastor will not know what to do. But here we go. Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. This is following the feeding of the 5,000. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, it's no surprise, he went up on the mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. The disciples saw him walking on the lake. They were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." How many times has he said that? "Don't be afraid. It's me." Peter replies, "Lord, if it is you, tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," Jesus said to him. Then Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Lord, as we hear your word here this morning, may we come to that same conclusion, that you truly are the Son of God, and that you love us. You love us just where we're at. And you love us so much, Lord, that we can't be the same. We want to be more like you. So use this time in our hearts and in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I think being seated for a message is a Lutheran thing. You know, back in Deuteronomy, when Moses gave them what God had told him to give. It's the whole book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy is the second law. And the people stood for that entire time. Can you imagine that? We can be thankful that we live in 2023. That way back in Moses' day, we'd have to stand. And if you had kids, what that would be like. I mean, it's okay when you don't have anybody to be thinking about, but then sometimes your knees tell you it's time to sit down. Well, we go from the feeding of the 5,000 to Jesus walking on the water here today. And what's very interesting in our text here is that he makes his disciples get into the boat. He tells, "Okay, you guys, all of you get into a boat and get to the other side of this sea. I got to stay here and dismiss all these people. There's 5,000 men. That means there's also women. There's also kids. You just fed everybody. Everyone is satisfied. They can't believe what they've just seen happen in feeding that many people with just 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, and still picked up 12 baskets afterwards. They had leftovers. And we find that as the disciples got in their boat and took off, Jesus, after dismissing the crowd, he then went back up onto the mountain. Why? You know, before he wanted to go there too, but he was interrupted by this crowd of people who saw him. He had just heard that his cousin, John the Baptist, was beheaded, and he was dead. And so Jesus, after the crowd is dismissed, goes back up onto the mountainside, and he's able to see from his vantage point the disciples out there in the lake, well, out there in the Sea of Galilee, being kind of caught up in a little squall of some sort, or the wind was against them. You know what it's like when you see white caps on Lake Okoboji and places like that? You just kind of go like, it's really windy. And there's big rollers out there. Rollers are big waves. And it's not a fun time to be out there, but you know, you had 12 disciples in one boat. Some of them are fishermen. They've been on worse seas than this, probably. But yet there is, you don't hear anything until Jesus shows up. And what time does he show up? It says that he waited until the fourth watch? Is that what it says there? Yeah, during the fourth watch of the night. Do you know what time of the night that this is? It's between 3 in the morning and 6 o'clock. Remember, they have no lights on the boat. To come out at that time of the night, in those kinds of conditions, it is no wonder when they saw somebody walking on the water, they thought it was a ghost. They did not find delight in saying like, oh, it's Jesus, so we can just all relax now. But they thought it was a ghost. And it says that they're all terrified. You know how nighttime increases? You know, whatever you're afraid of, if something happens at night, it just multiplies, doesn't it? It's worse than if it was in daytime and you could see something. But at night, you don't know what's going on. And reminds me of not too long ago. I woke up. It must have been like 2:30 in the morning, and I'm lying in bed, and I could hear something is up in the above the ceiling. I'm going, mice. I might have mice in my attic. And I'd wait, and I could hear something, go like, well, that's not. It couldn't sound like a mouse. But I would listen to it for a long time, but I go like, there's something up there. And I'm not going to go up there at nighttime. I'll just have to wait till the next day or whatever it is. Or when they turned on a little noisemaker that so I could not have to listen to what I could hear up above me, not worry about it. But the next day, my next door neighbor said, I see you got your house reshingled. I go, yeah, I did. And he goes like, I said, but I heard something up above my ceiling in my bedroom. And he goes, I bet it's birds. I go, how can it be birds? Well, he, from where he could see from his house, where the roof kind of comes down, next to the garage, the soffit had been not put back in place. There's at least that much of a crack in my soffit where they could get right on in into the attic, up to the upstairs of my house. And I'm going, sparrows. There are sparrows in my attic. And so I didn't go up and look the next day. I found a dead bird up there, but I go like, how did that bird get in here? And from the point that I could look up above, I could not see the hole that was in the soffit because it was kind of hidden. But my neighbor could see it from the outside, and he had me take a look at it and go like, oh yeah, that's a big hole there. So I got the ladder and went up there and got some good old duct tape, because duct tape works for everything. And they covered up that whole hole with duct tape that's still there. And my neighbor said, well, if it's mice, the mice will chew through it. I go, great. But if it's birds, they'll leave it alone. So at this point in time, it's birds. And there's none up there. If they are, they're dead because of the heat that they're in. So where was I going with this? Oh, at nighttime, things get multiplied. I'm thinking of mice. I'm thinking of what's got to be done to get them out of the attic. And at night, things just get so much bigger than what they really are. And find out what the truth is in the daytime. It wasn't that big of a deal. So at any rate, there's a lot of fear in that boat as Jesus even approaches it. There may be a lot of fear that you have going on in your life this morning as well, different kinds. But we find that when Jesus shows up, sometimes our greatest times of learning in life come when there are storms. Things that kind of rock our boat. And how many of you like to have your boat rocked? How many like to have your life rocked? Just what I thought. Nobody. We like things always to be smooth sailing. We don't like change. We like to be in control, whatever it may be. But how many times do things happen that are outside of your control? You know, we're kind of going through that with Bob Floss. You know, it's been great having him to be on the piano and doing the praise band and all those kinds of things over the years that many of you have been under that. And it's been great. It's been wonderful. We hope that it can come back. But we don't know what's going to happen there. So if he doesn't come back, I've heard many, many of you say, like, I like the music here. Well, if Bob Floss isn't here, does that mean you go back somewhere else? Check out somewhere else? I don't know. But we're just going through some changes that we don't like. But what can you do about it? Trust the Lord in times like these as well. So who's in control in our text here? Is it the disciples? Are the disciples in control? Or is it Jesus? You know, the disciples are doing everything they possibly can be doing with their oars on this boat, fighting against the wind. And of course, they're going against the wind. They're not letting the wind push them because Jesus told them to go across the Sea of Galilee. And they're listening to what he told them to do, but they're struggling. They're fighting it. And so Jesus says, well, I'm going to go out there and see what's up. He was walking on the water. One of the things I remember in the church that I went to as a young boy, it's still there, there was a picture above the altar of this very scene. The disciples with fear and panic on their eyes in the boat. You got the waves that are really rough, and you got Peter who has sunk into the water with his hands up like this, and Jesus has grabbed him about right here, and was like this. And that's a picture that was there every Sunday. But I never understood it, what it really meant. I just said, well, good thing Jesus was there, or Peter would have been sunk underwater, wouldn't have made it. But Jesus comes to us when we have different storms going on in our lives. And just think, you know, just a few hours ago, the disciples saw what had taken place. And they were part of it. They were involved. They were there when they fed the 5,000. They saw how it was done. You know, in their eyes, it was like, get rid of these people, let them, you know, it's getting dark, they got to go somewhere else. Send them somewhere else, Lord. And Jesus says, there's your basket. Pick it up, and you guys feed them. Jesus' ways are so different than ours. But even though they saw that take place just a few hours earlier, here they're in a different context, a different situation, different circumstances. And their minds really are not on Jesus, because they say he's a ghost. They're trying to do everything they can themselves. A lot like what we do, isn't it? It's Jesus who identifies himself with the disciples in the boat where he says, take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid. And he says that many times in the New Testament. Don't be afraid. It's I. But there's only one disciple. Only one disciple who steps out of the boat. I don't know if he understood what he was actually asking. I don't know if he really thought that he could walk on water too. But put yourself in Peter's sandals. Storm at night, still able to identify somebody that's out there by the voice. You've got a big roller, so I mean, there's kind of some going down and coming back up. It's not a smooth water taking place there, but Jesus would be going down. As the boat's going, who knows where the boat's at, going up and down, but you'd have that going on, that give and take. You'd be walking up big waves and down. Why Peter would say, can I come to you, Lord, is beyond me. I don't know why he said that, but God's kind of like Peter. He doesn't think before he speaks. He just does it. And Jesus says to Peter, he says one word, come. Strange things happen when Jesus says, come, and we do. Strange things like giving up your job and then wanting to go to be a pastor somewhere, have to go to seminary to be a pastor. There are people who give up good paying jobs and pursue the ministry. There are people who sell everything they have to become missionaries in another continent. Strange things happen when Jesus says, come. A lot of people, when they hear what so-and-so has just done, they say, he's crazy. He'll regret it, or they'll regret it. Or what are they thinking? It doesn't matter what other people think or what other people say. They'll talk no matter what. What's important is that you've heard the call, you respond to it, and you know that the Lord's in control. We have someone in this church whose brother has a dairy farm in New York. Selling to go to Africa. And you know, he's probably in his 50s. I'm not sure. Maybe he's older. He could be in his 60s. I don't know. But who'd ever think of that? Who would ever think of that unless you heard somebody like Jesus say, I want you to go to Africa. Sell everything you have and go. Everything is fine with Peter because he gets out of the boat, he starts walking on the water, and everything is good until when? It says when he sees the wind. I don't know if you can see wind, but you sure can hear it. We can hear it here when it's windy. And it's kind of like when Peter takes his eyes off of Jesus, that's when he starts to sink. It's just like us. Everything's good. Jesus is blessing us. We don't have to worry about the blessing box anymore. The Lord's with us there. But what if we didn't get those kinds of things that encourage us to help those who are in need? So Peter feels himself going down into the water, and this is the shortest prayer that you'll hear. Peter just says, "Lord, save me." And Jesus does. He grabs him. But not without a little encouraging words. Ye of little faith. Is that the right time to say that? Ye of little faith. You're all wet. And Jesus brings them back, and they go inside the boat. So Jesus and Peter is back inside the boat. At that time, the wind stops. The rest of the disciples realize, like, who is this guy? I mean, it's like, what did they just see a few hours ago? Him feeding the 5,000 plus. And now because the waves have subsided, they're asking, who is this guy that even the wind stops? And they came to the conclusion, he truly is the Son of God. What a great statement. Is that something you can say honestly this morning? That Jesus is truly the Son of God. He may not ask you to go to Africa. I'm reminded of a friend who said that was the biggest fear that he had, was to be called to go somewhere to be a missionary. And he fought it and fought it and fought it. And then one day he said, "Okay, Lord, I'll go if you want me to go." And it's when he was willing to go is when God said, "I'm not sending you anywhere. You be who you are, where you're at. I just wanted you to be willing to go if I'd ask you to do so." And so he learned a big lesson, because all them years of fighting and being mad and angry about going to be a missionary, didn't want to be a missionary, didn't want to go abroad. But when he said, "Well, okay, I'm willing." And then God said, "Good. I just want you to be who you are. Go where I send you here in the United States." So sometimes the Lord is just wanting us to be willing. Are you willing? Maybe the Lord is simply saying to you this morning, "Come." Are you willing to step out of your boat to follow Jesus or to go to Jesus? Come. Not knowing what's going to happen. It might sound crazy. It might even, where somebody says you're insane. But there's nothing like having the peace of Jesus in your heart and your life that passes all understanding. No one else can understand that. But when you have that peace, there's nothing you want for it to be replaced with anything else either. Is Jesus saying, come to you today? Do you believe that Jesus is your Savior and died on the cross for you? Because he loves you. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the times when we're asked to step out of the boat. Because we know that you're going to show us something, or you'll reveal to us something that we don't know anything about, but it won't happen until we do. So help us not to be afraid of stepping out of our comfort zones, but that you will go with us and you will lead us. You'll give us the words to say if there's words that need to be spoken. Sometimes you just say, I don't know why I'm even here. All I know is that God sent me to come and talk with you. And I don't even know what to say to you. You might be surprised you're invited in. You're going like, you know, I never expected this, but I've had a lot of questions lately and a lot of thoughts, and I was going to end my life tonight. If you would not have stopped here, I would have been gone by now. Sometimes things like that take place. Lord, help us to be willing, like Peter. He had a lot of faults. He would open his mouth and stick his foot in above the knee many times. But you knew him. You still forgave him. And you still wanted to use him. Just like you did all the other disciples. In time, some of them heard the word come. That took them to different places to share the gospel, to share the good news to people of different tongues, people of different cultures, because this is important work, an important message that changed your life. Now, God wants to use you to change other people's lives. Lord, we know that Patty Griffiths at one time heard you say, come. I don't know if she knew it was Tanzania or not, but that's where you led her. And then now we've been able to meet Godlin, who's here from Tanzania. And we're grateful. So we thank you for your faithfulness, Lord, and you can do much more than what we could ever think or imagine. But only when we say, I'm willing to come. So Lord, help us to learn the prayer that you taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Will you please rise as we recite the Apostles' Creed together? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary.
He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
You may be seated. Invite the praise team to come back up here. No, just me. Stay where you are. Do not move. How many have looked at your watch or your phone to see what time it is? Well, it's too early to let you out. So before we close, I want for us just to take some time in silence and let the Lord lead you to bring people to your heart and to your mind of who you are going to pray for this morning. It might be somebody here. It might not be somebody here. We're just going to take some time in silence to let you pray. It's called intercession, which is always a good thing. So let's just take some time to do that at this point in time. I'll close by ending it in a prayer. Lord, you love to hear your children pray. Thank you for the prayers that have been going up to you. Prayers of people's hearts that you have listened to. I'm glad that you're a God that does not have a language barrier. There's more to this earth than just people speaking English. Because you can understand every language. Which makes me just say, wow, there's a lot. Some think there's over 7,000 different languages on this planet. That's a lot. But today, Lord, you have tuned in English. For the most part, maybe one in Tanzanian, Swahili. Swahili. There, thank you, Swahili. You understand. And so, Lord, we just want to say that we love you, and we know that you care about things that go on in our lives. Help us to get out of the way so that you can have your way in what you want to do. Here at Harbor of Joy, but also in our lives, whatever that may be. So thank you that we can pray to you even though it's not a whole lot of time. But whoever you've laid on our hearts and our minds, there's a reason for that. Thank you for the prayers that have been given to you this morning. So we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. And before you go, I think last week I said, let's say who the new part-time secretary is. Well, we had one applicant. Therefore, it was easy to decide. And it was something that the church council was also very much in favor of as well. So it's not just me. It's Amy Johnson. We'll be starting sometime between now and September 1st. That's all I know. So I'll just let you know. Thank you. You are dismissed. Join God's peace.